Be careful what you ask for, as the old adage goes. This may be the case with Judah, with Israel, in our passage this morning. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the second chapter of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 2, it's found on page 1489 in the Bible there provided in the pew. Malachi chapter 2. We want to listen to Yahweh as He talks to us from verse 17 of the second chapter through the fifth verse of the third chapter. Listen, God is speaking. You have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied Him, you ask? By saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and He is pleased with them. Or, where is the God of justice? See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to His temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of His coming? Who can stand when He appears? For He will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. The offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. So I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive aliens of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. Let's look to the Lord together in prayer. Father, continue to speak to us from your messenger, Malachi, and encourage us this morning as we consider, among other things, the refiner's fire, and how that is applicable to our lives. So, Holy Spirit, move among us in a mighty way, that these your words would be written upon our hearts, that out of the abundance of our hearts, the issues of our lives would flow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yahweh's messenger, Malachi, began his message describing Yahweh's discriminating love. Our passage this morning begins with Judah's question. Where is the God of justice? Where is the God of justice? Can you imagine the people of Judah raising such a question after Yahweh has pointed out how they were practicing dishonorable worship as led by unfaithful clergy while being called to marital fidelity? How dare the people question the whereabouts of the God of justice when Yahweh knows in their hearts they are saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of Yahweh. Are they not able to appreciate that they are questioning Yahweh's assessment of themselves by such a thought? After all, it was they who brought defiled animals in their dishonorable worship of the thrice holy God. It was their priests who allowed such dishonorable worship through the defiled animals that they brought for sacrifice, those unfaithful clergy. And no doubt they thought that they were doing good when they divorced their wife of their youth for a woman who worshipped a foreign god. Where was their marital fidelity? After all, had not Moses allowed them to divorce their spouse for anything deemed reprehensible? And why not be allowed to marry a foreigner? That is, a man or woman who worshipped and served a non-god, so that such a spouse would be made holy by entering into the marriage covenant with a citizen of Judah. It was they who thought themselves to be good simply because they were citizens of Judah. But what would Yahweh think of them and do unto them if He would come then and as the just God? Obviously, they're not thinking of themselves at all. They're thinking of those who went to the devil for guidance and direction, the sorcerers. They were thinking of those who were adulterers, those who gave themselves to someone outside of the marriage covenant, and thereby being perjurers as they lied in their marriage covenant to be faithful to their spouse. They were thinking of those who were not paying a fair day's wage to the people they employed. They were thinking of those who mistreated or had no compassion for the widow and the fatherless and the alien. And aren't we often finding ourselves raising that same question? Where is the God of justice when it comes to sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, people who don't pay a fair wage, people who aren't considerate of widows, fatherless, and aliens? Next is Yahweh's answer. Yahweh's answer. Three messengers. The people cried for the God of justice. Be careful what you ask for. And Yahweh answered with three messengers. The first is Malachi. Malachi himself was a messenger of God. Listen to the first verse of the book. An oracle. The word of Yahweh to Israel through Malachi. An oracle, or a burden, as the word may well be translated, is addressed to Israel, addressed to Judah, through Malachi, whose name itself means messenger. And what was Malachi's message at its heart? Repent. Malachi is calling the covenant people of God back to a life of faith. Faith that manifests itself in obedience to the terms of the covenant. Stop depicting Jesus as though He was crippled, sick, less than perfect by these imperfect animals that you're bringing for sacrifice. Stop allowing such sacrifices, O you priests of the covenant. Repent. Stop breaking covenant with Yahweh in favor of a false god, as demonstrated by your marital infidelity. When we break covenant with our spouse, we're saying the covenant with God is divorceable. Malachi called the people to repentance. But now we find a second messenger, a messenger who is promised. And that second messenger is John the Baptizer. John the Baptizer. We see it there, don't we? At the beginning of the third chapter. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Our intern, Noah Bailey, already told us about John the Baptizer when he opened the first section of Mark's Gospel as he began his series in Mark on the first Lord's Day evening of this month. He reminded us that John didn't come to make the roads easy upon which to walk. John didn't come supporting the Pax Roma that allowed for transportation to and from to go more smoothly because the road system that the Roman Empire had built was such a road system. No, he reminded us there, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. As he, Mark, connects Isaiah 40, verse 3 with Malachi 3:1, to ensure that we will know of whom Malachi is speaking. The second messenger, indeed, is John the Baptizer. And his message was this: repent, for Jesus Christ is coming. And so that third messenger is clearly set forth for us in our text. And he is none other than Jesus. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord of hosts. A better translation than the word Almighty in the NIV. Psalm 110, verse 1 is certainly echoed here, is it not? The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. One of the reasons why I use the name Yahweh instead of Lord is because Yahweh is indeed the word that Lord, when it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, is translating. And sometimes we don't notice that. And so when we read in our text, then suddenly the Lord, notice it's L, small O, small R, small D. Just like in Psalm 110:1. The capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D says to my L, O, small R, small D, small. Yahweh is sending Adon. And Adon is coming to his temple. And he's coming as the messenger of the covenant. And all of this points to the fact that here he's speaking of that initial coming of Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, as he comes to the temple of his people. Because you see, when Jesus comes again, there will be no temple. For the Lord has destroyed the temple. We are never again to worship as God was worshipped under the old administration of the covenant of grace. So you see, Jesus is coming to the temple. The gospel message is to the Jew first, to the temple, and then to the Gentile. And he's the messenger of the covenant. And that covenant is cut in his blood. We saw that last Lord's Day. Remember? As we took of the cup, we're reminded therein that this is the cup of the covenant in His blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so you see in Jesus Christ, that messenger, that third messenger, is also the message of salvation. As He Himself is the good news. But what does He preach when He comes? Repent! So that brings us, you see, to the third point. Jesus' ministry. Jesus' ministry as purifier, as testifier. Jesus' ministry as purifier and testifier. Malachi tells us that Jesus will come as purifier. He will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Jesus is a purifier in two ways. He's a purifier as soap, as fire. Often when we hear the word fire, we think immediately of destruction. And we've read recently of families who've lost their home or they've lost their apartment because of a fire. And our hearts go out to them. What they have is destroyed. But when we think of purifier as fire and as soap, we're not thinking of a destroyer of the essence of what something is. We're thinking of one who comes and purifies so that the essence of what someone or something is truly seen. So He comes cleansing. He comes cleansing. And how comforting it is to realize that when the God of justice comes, He will come as a cleansing agent. As the refiner's fire burns off the impurities of precious metals like gold and silver, so Jesus will come baptizing in the Holy Spirit and with fire to purify unto Himself a bride without spot or wrinkle. Her gown will be pure white as cleansed by the launderer's soap. Jesus comes to purify for Himself a people that are His very own. A people eager to do what is good. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. He comes as the God of justice to cleanse His own. Burns the dross out of our lives. Washes the dirt off of our lives. The testimony of the baptism that we witnessed this morning. The washing of sin that is symbolized by the pouring or the sprinkling of the water upon the head of the infant. Oh, praise be to God when He comes in His justice as the purifier who will cleanse us of our sin. And when people are so cleansed, their worshiping will be profoundly impacted. So you see, as this purifier, He comes cleaning us up that we would worship as He would have us to worship. Then Yahweh will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to Yahweh as in days gone by, as in former days. All the way back, our mind should take us to Genesis. And that acceptable offering that Abel brings by faith because he knows his wage, the wages of his sin is death. And so he brings that animal sacrifice with the shedding of blood. There's forgiveness of sin. He takes us back to the day of Noah when Noah brings that precious sacrifice of gratitude to God for his great salvation. He takes us, doesn't he, to the Passover when that lamb is slain by those who live by faith and the blood put above the door and down the sides of the door frame. So the death angel would pass over those acceptable sacrifices. And David reminds us of those acceptable sacrifices, doesn't he, in Psalm 51. God doesn't ask us to bring our sacrifices unless we have a broken and a contrite heart. Unless we have a heart that the refiner's fire, that the fuller's soap, the launderer's soap has purified. Oh, you see, when Jesus comes, He works in the hearts and lives of a people so that they would become a people who are priests, like unto the Levites. And you remember how the Levites were set apart unto God on that great day of judgment. When the Lord sees His people worshiping that calf and Moses destroys the calf and has the people drink of the water that has the dust of the calf. And he says, now, who will stand over and against such people? And the Levites are set apart unto Moses. And the Levites are told, if you put a sword on their side and go forth and slaughter those who haven't trusted in the Lord and shown that He and He alone is their God. We come to be Levites, the priesthood of believers who in Christ have ready access unto the Father. Well, then He also comes not only as purifier, but as testifier. And He will testify regarding specifics, and He will testify regarding an overarching situation. We could spend the rest of the day, couldn't we, looking at each of the seven specific aspects of His testimony regarding people when He comes. We could spend a lot of time speaking about sorcerers, couldn't we? We could spend a lot of time speaking about people who fail to look to the Scriptures for the direction of their lives and look at all other places to find out how to live. But we remember, don't we, that we say the Scriptures are the only infallible rule for faith and life. Our lives are directed, the path is illumined by the Scriptures and the Scriptures alone. And all else is judged by what the Scriptures say. We don't go to sorcerers. We have a most clear revelation in the 66 books of the Bible. And we could spend a lot of time, couldn't we, talking about adulterers and all that that means. The unfaithfulness in marital covenant. The unfaithfulness of a people who go after a foreign God and don't serve the God who made them and sustains them. The God who they say saves them. We could spend a lot of time talking about adultery. Driving it home. And what about perjurers? And does it surprise us that He speaks about adulterers and then perjurers in the same sense? Because what is an adulterer but one who violates his marriage covenant with his spouse or her spouse? I will be faithful until death do us part. Perjured. Because they go after another person than their spouse. And then to say that God and God alone is my Savior. And to fall prey to the notion that my salvation rests in what I do. Perjure. Well, we could spend a long time, couldn't we, speaking about just wages. All sorts of litigation about just wages. All sorts of promises by people who are running for office about just wages. Whole day of conversation about just wages. When we go to work, Do we work wholeheartedly as unto the Lord? For we know from Him our reward comes. Is our calling Monday through Saturday of the Lord? Are we sensing that God has me here as His minister to do His bidding, to bring transformation to a society that loves darkness and decay? Do you sense that where you are is because God has called you there and you're serving Him lovingly with all your being there? Do you spend 8 hours a day at your job working it? What about widows? What about the fatherless? Are we sensitive to those who've lost a husband? The caregiver, the breadwinner? Are we sensitive to those who are without parents? Are we reaching out to those who are without parents? Thank God for foster parenting. Thank God for the opportunities to adopt. And we could spend, maybe a week on aliens. A lot of talk about border patrol. A lot of talk about what to do regarding aliens. The candidates who are presenting themselves as possible presidents, are we listening carefully? Where do they turn for direction? To sorcerers or the Scriptures? Do they see themselves as ministers, deacons of God in this civic endeavor? Are their marital lives faithful lives? Can a politician not perjure him or herself? I mean, in Christ, of course. And what about the promises of wages and taxes by our candidates? And what are we going to do about social justice regarding widows and fatherless and aliens? What are they telling us? Are we listening? And is what they say resonating with Scripture? So that we can unitedly say, there's one who obviously has the Spirit of God working in him or her, so that he or she is setting forth what God would have a deacon do who is His in the civil affairs of life. Oh, I said we could spell. We better get on, hadn't we? Because the overarching issue really is what he says at the end, isn't it? There's no fear of Yahweh. There's no fear of Yahweh. He comes and he testifies that there are those who think themselves to be wise but don't fear the Lord. The God of justice comes. And he comes as a purifier. And he comes as a testifier. Do you know him as the purifier? Have you repented? When you hear his word as a testifier, has his Spirit convicted you that perhaps you've gone to places other than the Scriptures for direction in your life? Have you been convicted that you have indeed committed adultery? Have you been convicted that you have indeed lied and maybe even used the name of the Lord in your lie? Have you been convicted that you haven't worked as you ought to work in the marketplace, or you haven't paid that just wage to your employee? Have you been convicted about your attitude toward widows and fatherless? And what about our attitude toward aliens? Have you been convicted by the Holy Spirit, by the testifier, by Jesus Christ, so that now you see Him as the purifier, as the one who will wash you clean of those sins in your life? Have you turned to Him and embraced Him and owned Him as your Savior and as your Lord? Do you give praise to God that when He came as a refiner's fire and as a launderer's soap? And have you welcomed those flames to burn the dross out of your life? Have you welcomed the soap to scrub you clean of sin? Are you resting in Jesus? That's the call of Malachi. That's the call of John the Baptizer. That's certainly the call of Jesus. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Jesus says. Oh, do you know Him? Do you know Him? Is your life reflecting that refining work of His sovereign grace in your life day by day by day? That's our Jesus. That's the messenger. That's the one whom we're told is coming. Yea, we know He has come. And are you resting in Him? Because He's coming again. And when He comes the second time, it will be for the dividing indeed of the wheat and the tares, of those who are His and those whom He never knew. Are you known by Him? And are you living the fact that He knows you by a life of faith, from faith to faith, as demonstrated by your acts of obedience to the covenant that's been cut for us in Jesus Christ? Remember, He's the one who does indeed come and set us apart unto good works. Let's pray. Father in heaven, do be pleased to cause each of us to rest in Jesus, to know His effectual grace in our lives, who has washed us of sin, that we might worship out of a pure heart. For Christ is our life and our cleansing. Forgive and mercy our Father for the glibness and the superficiality with which we often think about the matters of sorcery, the matters of adultery, the matters of perjury, the matters of unfair wages, the matters of the widow and the fatherless, and oh, the alien. Oh, Father, help us to look at these matters through the eyes of Christ, for the praise and glory of Your great name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.